Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you have woke to the most miracle morning and are going to have the most fortunate day today. We'd like to thank you all for those of you who are constantly tuning in and those of you who have subscribed to the channel. And if you haven't already, it's that red button that's blinking at you. Just hit it and it'll turn gray and then you'll know that you subscribed. So thank you for that. We have a great guest on today, Sean Morgan, as you can see here, expert on all things QAnon, independent journalist and author of QAnon for beginners, and you can find Sean at QAnonFAQ.com to be able to get access to that information. And he'll also let us know how you can access his channel, because he's got some amazing stuff going up there too. Yep. So Sean, welcome.
Welcome, Sean. Thank you so much.
Good to have you, buddy. How's everything been? Good?
Everything's great. Thank you for asking.
Good. So let's dive right in, man. If you got any
crazy week.
Crazy stuff going on.
Getting Trump getting blocked and the crazy explosion. So hopefully you can bring light to all this and help us understand what the hell is going on.
Right. What do you want to dive into first, guys?
So Sean, so much crazy stuff going on between the explosion, Trump getting locked out of his Twitter account. Hopefully you can make light of what the hell is really going on.
Right. Yeah. Well, with the president had an interview and he was talking about kids going back to school in the fall. And so what's interesting is that the Pediatrics Association of the United States has made the official recommendation that it's safe to go back to school. I mean, kids are not vectors of coronavirus. For some reason, this virus affects people, mostly elderly people with comorbidities. And there have been almost no young people who have died of this virus. And, you know, you're more likely to get struck by lightning than to die of this virus as a child. Hmm. And yet, there's this big controversy about whether kids should go back to school or not. And the real controversy is about how the Democrats want everyone to be in fear. They don't want the economy to recover. So if all the kids are staying home, then the parents have to stay at home, and they can't work and they can't make money. And this is like a war of attrition. If you remember the old wars where people were in the trenches, they would just fight and fight and try to starve people out. It's the same thing that's going on now. They're trying, the Democrats and the left are trying to starve us out by ruining our economy and making it so that we can't make money. That's why they're holding up the second stimulus checks as well, by the way. Mm. So the president was merely stating the facts and saying, hey, kids don't get coronavirus, they're safe to go back to school. And yet the big tech tyrants at Twitter basically said, you have to delete that tweet or else your Twitter account is locked. So when these big things happen, it gives the president a nice reason to come down hard with the hammer of justice against big tech. So I think we're only weeks away from something major happening related to that.
So again, like before, historically, is he just letting this all play out and letting them kind of just build their own cell and lock their own gate kind of thing?
Well, I think we're all tired of waiting. We're tired of the bad guys getting away with stuff. So I really do believe that we're literally days or weeks away from a major thing related to big tech. All the big tech CEOs testified before Congress recently, and if they lied before Congress, then they can go to jail. So that'll be interesting to see if Congress does anything about the lies that were made, because they said a lot of lies. I won't go into the details now, but they did lie before Congress, and so they can be held accountable for that.
What? Is that the big thing that you're referring to, is to see what's going to happen in terms of the court? Or is there something else?
No, Section 230 is the big thing that could happen, where they remove the liability protections for big tech. And so that means that big tech can be held liable for any illegal content on their platforms. And so if big tech is making the choice to be a, what's called a publisher, so this is what it's all about. So as soon as the legal protections are removed, they can go bankrupt because they have to be held liable for everything. So I'm really, that's what we're all hoping and praying for big tech to be held liable.
Now, who's going to have to push that through? So can the president sign an executive order on the ruling on big tech right there? Or is that something that's going to have to go to Congress, which we know as current state Congress won't let that?
Yeah, that, there's a lot of confusion about that. I saw Tucker Carlson interviewing Jim Jordan about this, and Tucker was just really frustrated, like, hey, why isn't anything being done about this? You're a lawmaker, do something. And Jim Jordan said that they are exploring three different options because it is kind of confusing whether it's the FCC that's going to be doing something or whether it's the Department of Justice. It's still unclear.
So would that mean... like literally one day we could wake up and Facebook would be shut down, Twitter would be shut down, Instagram would be shut down, or would it be something that would be dripped out over time?
As far as them being shut down, that's something that could happen and something Q has talked about. But this is not something like they would be shut down from the government. It's more like the deep state would shut them down because they don't want to, information to spread to wake people up.
Oh.
So when something starts going viral, like what happened with the frontline doctors talking about hydroxychloroquine, they got like 16, 17 million views immediately.
Right.
They had to take that video off all the platforms because it would wake everyone up.
Right.
When the information starts going really viral, they might have no choice but to shut down their own platforms at some point.
So even like that's publicly traded like Facebook right now, they would just shut down like that and that's it, and the shareholders are SOL?
Apparently that's according to Q. Q is saying that this is something that might happen in the future.
Hmm. Interesting. So, you know, kind of playing devil's advocate here. I know we're all waiting for something to happen here, but doesn't that kind of like go in the face of reason of the American dream and free speech? So even though we, a lot of us disagree with what big tech is doing right now, shouldn't they though have that protection as a company to say, you know, listen, we can do whatever the hell we want kind of thing like that?
Yeah, it's one thing or the other. Either the big tech companies are able to editorialize and choose what content is on their platforms, or it's a free market, free speech kind of thing. And if it's the free speech, then they, you know, it's one or the other. So as soon as they choose one route, then they have legal protections. If they choose another route, they don't have them. So, but they are, we have to be really clear on, the big tech giants are the ones choosing the route where they should have no liability protections. They're the ones who are choosing to editorialize the president and say the president is not allowed to put this content, and therefore they shouldn't have liability protections.
You know, I often wonder, as transparent as Trump is, why doesn't he just do something like the White Hats or whomever, his team, start a new social media site that he backs or that he promotes. And then there would be a great flood of all of these people that would rush to this particular site.
They've actually been talking about this, that the social media campaign managers say that they do have a platform in the works and they're about to release it. But this is a top secret thing and we haven't heard any announcement related to this. But, you know, the most... read subreddit on reddit.com was about Donald Trump. And Donald Trump probably has the most followers than anyone else on Twitter. So wherever he goes, there's going to be millions of people who follow. So I think that is a part of the plan. But I don't have any indication of when or how.
Are the current ones that people should be looking into, Sean? I mean, we've looked into them too, I think. Is it called maybe like a Twitter parlor? Is that like a Twitter kind of thing? Like a Twitter version?
Yeah, I really like gab.com. It's gab? Totally free speech. Gab, yeah. The thing about Parler is they require you to submit your identification and stuff. So I don't really like that. But hey, anything's better than Twitter at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like gab.com as an alternative.
There's a also with, there's another one, like it looks and acts and smells just like YouTube. It's called OogTube.
Yes.
Ooh, you.
That's where I mirror all of my YouTube videos.
Yeah, I got that
videos.
From you. Yeah. That will.
Yeah, because I like the functionality. It's very similar to YouTube. The only problem with a lot of these networks is they don't have a lot of users yet. But at least, hey, we have our choice of whether we're going to start using these big tech giants or not. And for me, the reason why I'm still on all of these big tech sites is because we're in an information war, and I'm putting out information that I want people to wake up. And as long as the people are, you know, in the battlefield, then that's where I'm going to be.
So do you envision, like, for example, like with all the things like this, do you envision like the parlors, the YouTubes? Do you think that that's coming faster than we can anticipate as far as maybe the Twitter, Facebook kind of YouTube replacements?
Yes, according to Q, some of these big tech giants will collapse under the weight of their own crimes. So some of them will cease to exist. And so something will have to take their place. And it's not easy to create a platform that can handle millions of users and so forth. So I think we do have to look at the alternatives that are out there now and see if they're good. And Gab.com has a group called the Great Awakening Group. It's probably the biggest QAnon related group on the internet. And so you guys can check that out. Just go to Gab.com, create a free account, and do a search for QAnon and Great Awakening.
Excellent.
Aren't you always a great wealth of information, my friend? Thank
sure
you.
Is.
That's great.
The election right around the bend, literally. I mean, it's like a stone's throw away, and there's so much upheaval, so much controversy, so much craziness going on. Like, and now they're trying, okay, let me put it in a question. The mail-in ballots, let's say all that goes through and they try to, you know, fraud, you know, obviously it all will all be fraudulent. But is it going to be so fraudulent to the point that it's going to get to the point that they're going to say, you know what, we're just not able to calculate everything right now and let it drag on for weeks, if not months, after the November election?
Yeah, that's the playbook for the left. I mean, let's look at their candidate, Joe Biden. I mean, he has dementia. He can hardly get a sentence out. People don't like him. People don't really want to vote for him. They're really just going to vote for him as an alternative to Trump. And so they have to come up with some plan because they can't win fair and square. Mm-hmm. And so their plan is to create chaos with mail-in voting. You can have fraud and everything and steal the election. But not only that, you can just drag it on, like you said, and so that you can't call the election on election night. So that's their plan. But the White Hats have a counter plan, which is to involve the military in the election process. This is already happening on the state level.
Great.
So the National Guard is being used to count ballots and so forth. And so the White Hats have control of certain institutions and the Black Hats have control of other institutions. So the Black Hats have control over the media. Well, the White Hats have control over the military. So you're going to see that they're each side is going to try to use the resources that they have to win this election.
Do all of the ballots get sent to one central location, or is it up to each individual state to count their own ballots?
Yeah, for federal elections, I'm not sure how it works. I mean, at the state level, it's all counted locally, and that's where the National Guardsmen are counting and being part of the election process. But apparently, because the White Hats have control over the NSA, and they have the ability, apparently because they won in 2016, is the NSA and these White Hat technology people have the ability to ensure a fair election with the voting machines, which is really important because those could be hacked as well. So,
well, that shows a lot of light.
If they were able to do it in 2016, the White Hats were able to ensure a safe, secure election. I believe that there are measures in place to get a fair election. And remember, if they don't, there's this worst case scenario, which is that there would be a military, temporary military takeover. And Q has talked about this, the idea that there will be even more organized riots from the left, and that the military will have to be deployed. And so this has actually already happened. Q talked about this before there were any riots and before there were any federal agents deployed to the riots. But I'm thinking this is actually for the election time. Whether Trump wins or loses, there could be major riots organized and the military might have to step in temporarily. And that's when things could get really heavy and the emergency broadcast system might have to be used for Trump to be able to communicate directly to the people.
Quick question tagging on that. Okay, so let's just say there is like hanky-panky stuff going on and they can't call it that night. For as long as amount of time, during the time that it's in the limbo, is he still considered the president of the United States and is his authority still as strong?
Yeah, till January, right?
Good question. There is something in the federal law where there's something known as an interim president. It would become be the Speaker of the House.
That's what I'm asking.
See how that would be part of the left's plan to just try to delay and create chaos and try to grab power. But I just don't think that the White Hats would take that chance to allow that to happen. And that's why I'm suggesting that the military would probably step in before anything like that would happen.
Because technically then she could reverse his
executive orders,
right?
Perhaps, but remember that the left always wants to create chaos and then try to create order out of that chaos. So if there's chaos, that means that the president of the United States has emergency powers and the military can step in. Mm. So remember there are over 180,000 sealed indictments and those can be unsealed at any time. So we have so much leverage on the deep state, it's not even funny, you know, with Spygate, the former president. I mean, we have dirt on everyone. The NSA has collected all the information on all of these people. So if Nancy Pelosi wants to be president, all we have to do is unseal the indictment against her, you know? So there are countermeasures in place for everything. That's what's so beautiful about Q. When you go to Q's posts and you read all of them, which might take you a whole day, you realize that there's a very, very, very sophisticated plan that's been in place for years. And it gives you a sense of calm and a sense of confidence in the fact that we have the strongest military in the world and they're full of good guys and that they will take care of us and keep us safe and secure during this time of chaos.
Is there anything in the Constitution or anything there where if the president does see this as total chaos and they're not backing off, where he can be like, you know, hell with it, I'm just riding this out and there is no election and he's the one who can call the election or defer it a bit and maybe call the country in a state of crisis of some sort?
Yeah, I mean, of course, for an emergency situation, the president can institute martial law. But you notice how Trump has really strayed away from being an authoritarian. With the COVID-19 lockdowns and everything, he gave all the power to the states. With all these riots, he didn't just send in the military. He waited and waited for them to request the military to come in and help. So it's just not Trump's style. He would only do it in a worst case scenario.
What's going on and what happened there in Beirut, the explosions there? What's going on there?
Great question. It's really hard to get to the bottom of it, but I created a video yesterday where I read aloud an analysis by a military technology expert. And so they analyzed the nature, the number of explosions, the color of the plume of the smoke, the shape of the vortex, and all of these things that have to do with trying to identify what exploded and what detonated the explosion and what kind of thought process was going on from the party who decided to create that explosion. Because let's not make any mistake. Let's not be totally naive and say that this was an accident of just a bunch of fireworks. No, this was an arms depot. This was because let's look at Lebanon. Lebanon is surrounded by Israel and Iran, who are arch enemies, and they have very strong militaries. And so there's an organization called Hezbollah that has power in Lebanon, and they are funded by Iran. And so Iran wants to, Iran is like a deep state black site where the deep state operatives are able to carry out their nuclear ambitions and rockets and all these bad things. And so what is suspected is that there was an arms depot with a whole bunch of stuff, probably rocket fuel. So the Iranians wanted to, fly rockets at Israel or what have you. And they were storing all of this rocket fuel near civilians. And why would they do that? Because they thought that no one would take a chance and try to blow up all this rocket fuel next to a bunch of civilians.
Wow.
Well, that's not true. Apparently, whether it's Israel or Saudi Arabia, the United States, or this group of allies that's against Iran, they were willing to take that risk and to use advanced technology, what looks to be a direct energy weapon, to explode all of that rocket fuel that could have prevented a war. Because if Iran had all of that rocket fuel and they used that, they could have destroyed all of Israel. So I'm not saying that I know the truth about the situation. I'm just following the analysis of independent researchers and just thinking through it, what makes sense. But it doesn't, there are some people who say, hey, there were 100 civilians killed, so this had to be bad people. But perhaps the people who were making those decisions thought it was better to lose 100 people rather than to lose millions of people later.
Wow.
You know, I was watching this morning, Sean, that Governor Cuomo in New York was literally asking people to come back, right? Come back to New York and, you know, for whatever, you know, obviously to re-stimulate their economy. From what you know, or have you heard, does New York as we know it today, is that no longer going to be that major international financial hub as we know? Is it going to cease?
Great question. I mean, I think people are seeing how horrible the leadership of the Democrats are in New York at every level. We're talking about their governor, talking about the New York City mayor, de Blasio. We've seen a crime wave in New York. If you look, drive down Fifth Avenue, all of the stores are boarded up.
Yeah,
this
is
crazy.
It's awful.
Tried to shut down our most successful street in our most successful city. So people are seeing how bad the Democrat leadership is, and that means they're going to vote them out. I mean, it's just a matter of time. So I think New York can recover. I think that New York can be powerful. We have great infrastructure there that isn't going away. I myself have been thinking about which state can I live in where I have the most liberty assured. And many people are thinking the same thing. They're thinking, I want to move out of the cities.
Florida.
Yeah, perhaps.
We'd love to have you in Florida.
Thank you. Yeah, so in the short term, New York is a crap hole and no one wants to be there.
And the weather sucks.
In the long term, I think it can have a renaissance and it can rebound.
Just kind of rebound there, huh?
Talking about that, where do you see the economy, let's say, maybe not immediately after the election, but by the new year?
Well, after Donald Trump wins re-election and we have control over the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, it's going to be the beginning of the most prosperous time that our country has ever had, where the wealth of the wicked will be transferred to the righteous. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about how there will be a transition. I don't think it's going to be an immediate transition because people are still stuck in their slave mentality that they think they have to be wage earners and make $10 an hour, which is just pure slavery in our country. So it's already kind of started to happen where all of the stimulus money is going to small businesses, and these small businesses can use that money to make decisions for themselves. I think we're seeing kind of an example of how that could happen for individuals, where the government would say, hey, here's $100,000, do whatever you want with it. And then people can have for the first time a feeling of financial security and power
and
entrepreneurship. Yeah. So we're looking at debt cancellation for individuals. Supposedly this is already happening at certain levels. So I think that It'll be a very, very interesting time to be in the United States. I think probably it's better to be in the U.S. than any other country in the world, because we are leading the Great Awakening. So that means that our citizens are going to benefit more than others.
And then two things. The second stimulus check, you said they are not releasing that yet?
Yeah, the Democrats in the House of Representatives are saying, we won't allow this to pass because we want money for illegal immigrants included in the bill.
So,
you know, just thank the Democrats that all of us who are suffering and from this lockdown, you know, that we can't get that money we need to revitalize our economy and help our families. So that's what's going on. And so it's just, once again, putting the first, the awareness has to be there. The people understand it's the Democrats who are causing the problems. Mm-hmm. But then Trump has already said that he will find a way to work around those Democrats to make this happen. So
step up, everybody. There's an election in about 2.5 months. Seriously, you know what I mean? Whatever it is you're thinking.
I think you can expect that before the election, that there will be another stimulus package.
Yeah.
What about the gold standard?
Well, gold has risen this week alone to record highs. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed people on my show who say that gold has been artificially suppressed for a long time. People want some kind of stability. People want something to believe in. And what we have is this old system of fractional reserve lending with central banks, the House of Rothschild controlling the finances of the world. And that's all going to end. And so the question is, what is going to replace it? Is it going to be something like gold, which has been something that has been used in finances for thousands of years? Or will it be something new like blockchain technology or quantum computing technology? It could be a mixture of both, where gold is the reserve and it's a digital blockchain technology that represents the gold. We really only have a few options. What I'm doing with my finances is just kind of spreading it around to these different options. You know, first and foremost, take care of your family, have a house, have land, have food. And then if you have anything left over, invest a little bit in gold and silver and Bitcoin, some of these alternatives.
Did we miss anything from Q? Is there anything that we left out?
No, nothing new from Q. He hasn't posted since July 31st.
My gosh, that's a long time.
Well, we're ready. He must get some info.
He must be waiting to drop a big bomb.
But he has said, do not mistake silence for inaction. So just because Q is not posting doesn't mean Q team's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's for sure.
All right, Sean Morgan, everybody. Thank you, my brother. It's always good to come on here. Thanks for always putting yourself out there with us and, you know, with the audience and sharing this part. This is really, really important and crazy important stuff, man. So bless you for
anytime.
This.
Anytime.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you like to let everybody know how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, QAnonFAQ.com has the free ebook, free video course about QAnon. Has a contact form. You can contact me, link to the YouTube channel and the podcast.
Right. Awesome. Right. Thank you so much, Sean. And thank you, everyone. Together, we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.